This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm okay, Dave. It was a productive yet stressful weekend. We got all the Turkey Day shopping done, and I got to tell you, the grocery store was a madhouse. I feel like I left a little piece of myself in Whole Foods. That's how bad it was.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely bananas in the grocery store this weekend.
But you got it done.
I got it done. Three different grocery stores because, of course, you have to go to three. My girlfriend couldn't find everything that she needed in just the one, so went by a lot of different specialty shops, but we got everything that she needed. The most important thing is she's got the ingredients so she can cook the meal, as Bill Parcells used to always say about picking football players. She's got everything set out, ready to go for Turkey Day. So all I have to do is sit back, enjoy football, and enjoy the eats.
So you're out now, right? Like, you've done your penance. You've gone shopping.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm all the way out. Anything else she needs, she's got to get it delivered by Amazon. I'm not going out to get anything else from the grocery store.
So come 12:30 on Thursday, in front of the TV, beer in hand, appetizers, you're done.
Absolutely right.
Great. Good. Well done. Okay. I'd say good morning, Rick, but it probably is not. How are you?
It's a great morning, Dave. I'm fantastic. I mean, Jets, that's a productive game. Competitive, and you lost.
Yeah. I actually thought that there were moments that it looked like a real football team, which we haven't seen a lot this season.
Yeah, I mean, they looked like a real football team. It was amazing to me, and I don't want to pirate Deanahan. I mean, he said it in an email this morning, and I...
Well, he's part of our show. I think you can pirate someone from our show.
No, I want to give him credit, though, because okay. I love Dino. I mean, the fact is that you block a punt, you go down, you score a touchdown, you miss the extra point.
Yeah.
Then you create a turnover on the one-yard line, and... somehow you managed to be down 7-6 after all that.
It really was amazing. And that play call and throw from Flacco, that play defined the 2020 New York Jets.
Horrendous.
But that's exactly what you need, though. If you're the Jets, that's exactly what you need. It's not in the best interest of the team, but it's in the best interest of the franchise. I mean, let's not get carried away here. We want the Jets to be competitive, but we still want them to lose games. The tank for Trevor is still on. And the way that game started, I mean, it got a little dicey there, man. The first 10 minutes, of that game, I mean, the Jets were in jeopardy of taking a lead. God forbid anything like that happened. You don't want to see that. Come on, guys.
Yeah, don't
What's
worry.
A meaningless win against a two-win Charger team going to do?
So you're
going to
say this every week that they go out there and compete and lose and 0-12 and 14 and eventually 0-16. That's going to be exactly what you need. It stinks, though. It does.
It's the worst.
Please, that your team loses every single week is not a. It's not a good existence.
No, it's not a good existence. I can't imagine that Rico feels good about his team losing. But I mean, if they won that game in L.A., you'd feel great about it today, and then you'd be frustrated because the Jacksonville Jaguars would be in pole position to have the number one pick. Is that what you want?
No,
you wouldn't feel good about a win. There's no chance. I would not feel good about a win, especially with Joe Flacco playing quarterback. That's the biggest.
No, race. I'm just saying, as a fan, though, like most people, their team wins the next day, they feel pretty good about it because their team won.
Right.
You wouldn't be a historically bad team.
The Jets are so difficult this year that even a win would make you feel like it was a loss. Right? They've put you in a position that if they were to win a game on the road in L.A. against the Chargers, against a young quarterback who really looks sensational, that you would awaken this morning and be like, man, that really stunk that they won that game last night.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to worry about it. I mean, the players, listen, the mentality of the players is, and you heard Frank Gore talk about this, you don't want to be the worst team in the history of the NFL. You go out there, and you could tell, I mean, they were flying around. I mean, the Jets clearly, I mean, you could tell early on in the game they were flying around. They're trying to win every single one of these games. I just don't think their coaching staff's going to allow them to win a game, to be completely honest.
Well, who's calling plays? Is it Dowell Loggins or is it Adam Gase?
No, it was Dowell in the first half, and it was Gase in the second half.
Okay, but Gase is still the one that's relaying the plays to the quarterback in the headset. Dowell Loggins was just feeding it to him.
No, he wasn't feeding any. Dowell Loggins was not talking in the second half. It was Adam Gase calling the plays.
Well, I mean, Adam Gase said that he didn't step in. He's trying to frame it as he did not step in. That's what he said after the game, which I find hard to believe because the offense looked completely different. You had 82 yards of total offense in the first half as opposed to 210 yards in the second half, and you're taking shots downfield on vertical routes.
Well, you heard the game plan going in.
Stark contrast between the two offenses.
Well, you heard the game plan going in is that this was all part of the plan. Is don't lose the game in the first half because the Chargers struggle in the second half. So we'll be real conservative in the first half. Don't make too many mistakes, and then we'll really
put the pressure on them.
Exactly.
But if you're the Jets, you struggle in the entire football game. Who the hell are you to say, hey, we're just going to be conservative in the first half, and then we'll put our foot on the gas in the second half? Who are you? You're a winless team.
Plus, the whole game plan didn't even work anyway. You were down 24-6 at the half. This game plan of let's just keep it close because they'll implode at some point, which did almost happen. But you didn't even execute that. But you have 18 points at halftime.
See, Dave, that's where we disagree because I didn't think that the Chargers were in jeopardy of losing that game ever. I mean, I just feel like the Chargers players took their foot off the gas because they realized the kind of competition they were facing.
Well, listen, it got
Dave, it
close.
Was an 8-point game with 2 minutes and 48 seconds left. And the Jets would have went 3-and-out had Joey Bosa not hit Joe Flacco low. But as a result of a roughing the passer penalty, you got the ball into plus territory, and you had 4 plays in which you got 1 yard. 1 yard in 4 plays, and that was the ball game.
If there's a pass interference down at the two-yard line, you're talking about going for 2 to potentially tie that game. Look, I never thought the Jets were going to win, but I thought that it was certainly entertaining.
If you just let me finish my point, I'll elaborate on what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, even in that moment with the game in the balance and you having a chance to go down and tie it up and force an overtime against a team that we know struggles late in games and in extra period, like even in that situation, you couldn't get anything done, which just goes to show me that when other teams actually try, this team has a hard time coming close to winning. That's what I saw in that game.
I don't know. I think you're a pass interference, which was a questionable no call away from going for 2 to tie that game. I never really thought the Jets were going to win, but it was close enough that it was intriguing to watch it to the end.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I mean, that's all you're asking for at this point. I mean, no one's going to sit here and pretend like they – I mean, no Jets fan wants to see this team win at this point. I would be hard-pressed to think anyone calls the show today and says they're upset that the Jets lost, especially with Joe Flacco playing quarterback.
I'll tell you what, when Sam Darnold plays, if Sam Darnold plays, he better play better than he's been because Joe Flacco has given you moments where he looks like a good NFL quarterback. And if Sam Darnold comes back and Mims is good, I mean, when he's healthy, he looks to be good. And you got Crowder, and you got Perryman, and if Darnold comes back and is just brutal and dreadful and awful, that's an indictment on him.
Yeah, and you had a Chris Herndon sighting yesterday, too.
Yeah, well, after he dropped one right away.
And after he dropped one. But, I mean,
you know what
frustrates me the most? I'm resigned to the fact now that I want to see this team lose as many games as possible because it doesn't feel like Jacksonville's going to end up winning a game.
See, if I were you, I would be rooting for Jacksonville to win a game desperately.
I did. I said that last week. I would love to see Jacksonville win one more game.
So at least you could root for the Jets.
Exactly right. But, I mean, some of the decisions this team makes, it's like, and I just said this, like the coaching staff, like their objective is to not win these games. Like they don't take any chances. Like during the game yesterday, like, this is a perfect opportunity for a fake punt. Why not? Why not take the opportunity for a fake? What do you have to lose but another football game? Like empty the bag. Empty it. They never do it. They never do it. It's amazing to me. I mean, you watch the Patriots play. They got it's trick play after trick play. Like, Bill Belichick's emptying it. Like, whatever it's going to take. What are we afraid of? Like, what is Adam Gase afraid of? That it doesn't work? Who cares if it doesn't work? All you can do is lose another football game.
Yeah, and I think your fate is sealed anyhow.
Exactly right. Like, what are you protecting? We don't want to get really blown out? Oh, great. I mean, Justin Herbert did whatever he wanted yesterday.
Oh, he is good.
Didn't we say that was going to happen, though? We said that, you know, if you're the Jets, you got to try to disrupt Justin Herbert. In order to do that, who you got to stop? Keenan Allen. Said that on Friday. Going into that game, the Jets' pass defense allowed the third-best passer rating in 281 yards per game. And Justin Herbert looked like he was going to throw for 500 yards yesterday.
He could have.
That's what it looked like. And you see, Dave, you say he could have, and I absolutely feel like he could have too if the Chargers felt threatened at any point, but they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it was a 3-possession lead at halftime.
That wasn't
laugher for them.
Offensively, they did whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry. I mean, they made Kalen Ballage look good. You name it. That offense did whatever and whenever they wanted.
Dave,
to do
Keenan
yesterday.
Allen set a career high for catches and yards. I mean, Keenan Allen got busy, man. 16 catches. Let the guy go for 16 catches and 145 yards. At some point, don't you think you want to slow him down?
He couldn't.
7 catches went for first downs, Dave, and on third down conversions, he was responsible for 2 of the 9. And if you want to throw in the third from the DPI from Bryce Hall, you can go ahead and do that too. Anytime you needed to get a first down or a big play, Keenan Allen. And just when you fall asleep on the other guys, Mike Williams hits you over the head for a 39-yard catch and run for a touchdown, and then you have the kid Tyron Johnson hit you for 54. Like, he was just spraying. Herbert was just spraying the ball around the field. And Greg Williams had no answer for
nothing. There was nothing they could have done.
But, I mean, you have to feel good about a couple of things. Quinnen Williams, light bulb starting to come off of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's more disruptive, playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage, had a couple of quarterback hits and pressures, half a sack. You know, Ashton Davis had a big day. I think he had like 12 tackles in that fumble recovery, which was a hell of a play by Marcus May early on. I mean, Mekhi Becton is a beast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I already think he's one of the best tackles in the National Football League. I mean, it didn't matter whether it was Joey Bosa or Melvin Ingram. He just shut everybody down. I think that dude gave up one pressure in 31 pass blocking snaps.
Against
elite competition. Yeah. I mean, he had Melvin Ingram not wanting to rush. Like on that one play where Joey Bosa knocks the ball out of Joe Flacco's hand and they had to review it. If you look at Melvin Ingram, he just stops rushing. Like, he doesn't even rush Mekhi Becton because he knows how that movie is going to end. Like, that's the level that this kid has ascended to. So you feel good about Joe Douglas nailing that pick and the Denzel Mims pick. And we'll see about the other guys. Ashton Davis flashes here and there. We'll see about the other guys. But I think that bodes well for Jets fans as you go into the offseason, because the next two drafts, you got 18 picks and you got two first-rounders this year. And based on what Joe Douglas did in the draft this past year, you feel good about the guy that's going to be responsible for buying the groceries for your team. At this point, that's all you have to look forward to as a Jets fan. You want these games to be competitive, but you want your team to lose so you can have the number one overall pick so you can get your franchise quarterback. And then you have to trust the general manager that he is going to surround that quarterback with talent, with the draft capital that he has. That's it.
Mekhi Becton took a shot yesterday, too, by the way. Denzel Perryman.
Oh, yeah.
Running
yeah,
full
he did.
Speed.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Did you see that? This is completely off topic, but I just want to mention because I'll
no,
never
I like
remember.
It. Get off topic. Let's do it.
The hit of the day, and I could not believe, and I didn't know that this guy was capable of taking a hit and getting stunned like that. Did you see the hit on Derrick Henry in that Titans game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
He went down on his knee. I thought he was hurt. I mean, he looked like he was dung up, but initially he went to the sideline, yeah.
That team just has the Ravens number, by the way.
Ravens
they just
trouble.
Got the Ravens number.
Ravens are in trouble.
How about that Brown touchdown? You talk about a beast.
Yeah.
Oh, A.J. Brown, he just big boyed the entire Ravens defense. The entire defense.
He ran through them.
The entire defense. I don't know how that's even possible. If you're Baltimore, you let him make that play to tie the ball game up. Like, how is that even possible?
The Ravens should have never lost that game. And they did, and they're on the outside looking in right now.
Yeah, but I expect the Ravens going to make the playoffs. I just do.
He doesn't look good, though.
Yeah, but once they get past this Pittsburgh game, their schedule eases up.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of noise, man. Again, he after that game yesterday, too, he just said they wanted it more than us. There's a lot. They're in one now a little bit.
Yeah, they are, but they got to get more weapons for Lamar Jackson. I mean, they signed Dez Bryant. And they had him active yesterday. They're throwing passes to a guy that hadn't played football in 2 years before a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, that's how desperate they are at the receiver position. I just feel like once they get some guys on the outside, that's going to be a different offense.
So, but what happened from last year to this year? Last year they didn't have a lot of weapons and he looked, you know, otherworldly. This year he looks pedestrian.
Well, he doesn't have two of the three tight ends that he had last year. I mean, Nick Boyle is hurt and Hayden Hurst is down in Atlanta.
He's missing his left tackle, too.
Yeah, and he's missing Ronnie Stanley and Marshall Yonder retired. He was a Hall of Fame guard.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the difference.
Seems like it's a different offense there, because they were, last year, like nothing you've ever seen. All right, let's get to some of these Jets calls, and we'll hear from Adam Gase. 800-919-3776. Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, fellas. And in case I don't talk to you the rest of the week, a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving to everybody over there. Chris said it right. You know, it was good to see the draft class, the kids producing. But the bottom line is it's the same old story week after week. The penalties are ridiculous. You know what? I totally blame that on Greg Williams. I think these guys were coached to play that way. You can't keep on hitting quarterbacks in the head and dirty late ones. The one by Nathan Shepard was an absolute joke. I mean, that was almost 10 seconds after the play was whistled down.
That was awful, by the way.
The bottom line here is I don't understand why they didn't attack down the field in the first half. They had success against the Patriots. I understand that maybe they were thinking they would run the clock, that type of thing. But, I mean, give me a break. You know, to target just a few passes to wide receivers in the first half was a joke. And you saw what they could do in the second half. And, Dave, you brought up a great point. You know, if Donald is healthy and they clear him to play and he comes back, he's got to show better than what he did, because even Flacco at his age, you know, at least he moved the offense and they put some points on the board.
Flacco looks, in real stretches, good. So I cannot have, because the offensive line does not stink now. You can't say there's no weapons now. I don't know why they're playing Frank Gore over P. Ryan, but they run the ball somewhat effectively in stretches. If you're Darnold and you come back and you're worse than this, I mean, it says a lot about him.
Absolutely, and his trade value will go down also. But you know,
yeah, but time out for a quick second. I understand what both of you are saying. Let's not also forget that the Jets are yet to win a game without Sam Darnold. So let's pump the brakes a little bit. Hey, he's not been great, but when he plays, I mean, he gives them the best chance to win.
Well, I'm not even saying
it's
win a game.
Wax poetic about
Joe
Flacco,
give me a game where it ends, and I you know what? He looked good.
The guy has one thing he does well, which is throw the ball deep down the field. Congratulations. I mean, let's not sit here and Joe Flacco's the greatest. Stop, please.
No, I'm not praising him, but at least, you know, it's a professional offense where he's been in there. But to give Darnold slack, he didn't have everybody to work with, so we'll see what happens.
You played a Chargers team that didn't come out of the locker room in the second half. For them, that game was over. It was a wrap. It was night-night termite.
He
had 82 yards when it mattered. This is what happens with the Jets and Jets fans. This is like the second half of last season. Oh, we're going to carry on the momentum. The season was already over. It was meaningless football. You were down 24-6 at halftime. They were probably laughing about how bad you were in the locker room.
Well, that's true. And
you didn't complete a pass to a wide receiver until 12 minutes of the third quarter.
Well, that's on the play calling. Give me a break. I mean, look what they did. But as for Jacksonville, Rick, you were talking about Jacksonville. Dave mentioned it. You know what? They have two home games. You got Chicago, and you got Cleveland at home, and you got Minnesota on the road. So the other three games are difficult. Those are the three games. If they could get one of those three games, it'll take the pressure off. Because I think the Jets are going to win a game down the road. I don't know who they're going to beat, but I think they're going to beat somebody. And we need Jacksonville to get that second win. I really think that has to get done.
I don't think that's going to happen, Ira. I don't think that's going to happen.
Jacksonville stinks. And we're sitting here. We're actually wasting time. I'm a Jets fan. We're wasting time. Because there's actually a football team in New York that has a chance to, if things fall right this week, to be in first place in the NFC.
That's right.
The Giants are going to win the division at 6-10. They are.
I don't know who's going to win the NFC East. The NFC East is a car wreck.
I mean, you could make an
argument. I have no idea who's going to win that
call,
division.
Thanks for the call, Ira. You know what's amazing, guys? Thanksgiving on Thursday, you can make
a
real argument.
Game.
Any four of those teams can win.
Well, no, on Thanksgiving, you should have your Washington football team hat on and be rooting like hell for Washington.
You want Washington to win, but I think the Cowboys are going to beat them people.
Don't be so negative, Chris. It's the Cowboy. See, Dave, I told you it's the Cowboy coming out of me.
First of all, it's not the Cowboy coming out of me. I try to be objective about what I'm analyzing, and I just feel like the Cowboys, based on how they're playing in the last time we saw the Washington football team, which was yesterday against the Bengals, I just feel like, I don't know, man. I just feel like the Cowboys are playing better. They're playing at a higher level. The last two times I saw the Cowboys versus the last two times I saw the Washington football team, I feel like the Cowboys are playing better.
But it wouldn't shock you if Washington won that game.
No, it wouldn't shock me, and if you're the Giants, you want them to win because you've already got two games in hand against Washington. So that would be a beautiful situation. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Let me see if I can get this straight now. If Washington wins, the Giants win, which they absolutely should now with Joe Burrow being
here. They better win.
And they've gone from a 3-point underdog to a 5-point favorite, which is a big turn of events. If Washington wins, the Giants win, Seattle wins, next Tuesday, December 1, as we pop on these microphones, the Giants will be in first place, correct?
Yeah, they'll be in first place.
First place.
Yeah, Philly stinks. I mean, the only thing I will say, I mean,
I don't know if
division?
Philly stinks or if it's just that Carson Wentz stinks.
That's bad.
He's awful.
I mean,
he's unplayable right
awful.
Now. He is unplayable.
What hurt them was that Miles Sanders fumble at the beginning of the game. Like, that hurt, and then the pick six was like, all right, they're not going to have a chance to be in this game.
Oh, and then Olivier Vernon helping out the Giants with the safety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, turnovers, man. It's just, that Green Bay game, I want to throw up. But Dallas, I mean, Dallas has Philly and the Giants to end their season, to finish off their season.
Right.
16-17. So depending on what they do.
And a winnable game this week.
Yeah, I mean, they control. I mean, they could be the team that ends up.
It sets up for Dallas. It sets up for Dallas.
Sets up for Dallas.
It sets up for Dallas.
Big win for
yeah.
Because
they got Cincinnati, San Francisco. It sets up for Dallas.
Like, they could win. I mean, they could.
Yeah, I guess they
win.
Could get to seven. But if they lose this week, stop at Santiago, really.
Yes.
I mean, really.
Hey, CeeDee Lamb is a player, man.
CeeDee
Lamb
catch,
is
huh?
unbelievable. I don't know how he came down with that one, Dave.
He was, like contorting himself as the ball's in the air.
Yeah, because he was, I mean, I think Andy Dalton threw it over the wrong shoulder. Like, I mean, he was expecting it to be on the outside shoulder. It was on the inside shoulder. He turned around in the air, made the catch above his head, and somehow was able to hold on to it while he hits the ground. I was like, that's crazy. Andy Dalton stinks, though. Andy Dalton is awful. But it's all about that running game, Ezekiel Elliott going over 100 yards, mm-hmm. and then CeeDee Lamb making big plays.
Is he their best receiver right now?
Yes.
He already
yeah,
is, right?
Santi yeah. and I were having that conversation. He's better than Gallup and Cooper already.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Really is a terrific wide receiver. All right, 800-919-3776. Someone's upset with you. You want to hear who that is, Rick?
Someone's upset with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, put him on.
All right, Brian in the car. It says angry at Rick. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm not angry at Rick. Oh. Just disagreeing.
Oh, okay. My call screener says angry at Rick.
Now I'm told
by Little Birdie, Brian, that you were, quote, spitting fire as you made the call to us.
Rick, you didn't Flacco, like, all he could do is throw the deep ball. That's what we're missing, the Jets. The Jets, the best quarterbacks have been Namath, Testaverde, Sanchez even. That's what Sam can't do. He can't throw the deep ball.
What do you mean Sam can't throw the deep ball? Who's Sam throwing the deep ball to? This is the first time they've actually had three wide receivers healthy. Sam has never had the luxury of having all three wide receivers healthy at the same time. You're going to put Joe Flacco in the same conversation as Joe Namath? That's how beaten down we are? Come on, man. Stop.
No. We're not beaten down. I'm going back to Sanchez, you know, and Testy. You know, I mean, listen.
Sanchez wasn't good either.
It looks different with Flacco. It just does. I mean, the bomb's missing. Chicks take long ball, you know?
Yeah, no, but in fairness to Darnold, Brian, he has not had a healthy core wide receiver since he's been here this season, when he's healthy.
Well, this year.
Oh, well, this year. I mean, my point is, when he comes back, he's got to look better than he's looked
ever.
This year.
This year, ever.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold does not have talent around him. I don't want to sit here and make excuses for Sam Darnold, but I mean, it's, again, to sit here and talk about how good Joe Flacco is, and if Sam Darnold, when he comes back, doesn't play to that level, stop. You're still not winning football games.
But it's not about winning football games for Sam. Can I see something from him, though? When the game ends and he stinks, do I have to watch that every time? Give me something.
I don't expect him to stink.
Okay.
He has stunk. The team around him has been awful.
And he has stunk also.
Dave.
Yes.
Sam Darnold has not been surrounded with the same talent that Joe Flacco has his entire career.
That's the point I'm making. That's why I said when he comes back and he has this talent, he needs to be better than he's been.
Yeah, but how great Joe Flacco played. Did you watch the pick six? Did you watch that throw? Come on, man, stop. The game was over. I mean, that was a team that just took their foot completely off the gas. The takeaway from yesterday is Denzel Mims is going to be a good wide receiver. That's
yes,
the takeaway.
Well,
you know what? Sam Darnold will have him when he returns.
Oh, and it's about time that he actually has, if we see him on the field.
Do we actually want to see Sam Darnold at any point this season? I mean, is that something that we have to actually see? I mean, if he has to miss another couple of weeks, at that point, don't you have to have the conversation about shutting him down?
Adam Gase made it sound like he's playing, so that's all we can go
I think
off.
He's going to play.
If he's healthy enough to play this weekend against the Dolphins, okay, that's fine. You throw him out there, you have to play him. But I'm just saying, if he's not healthy enough to play, if he has to miss this coming week, I mean, here's the thing. I just don't want to see the Jets devalue the kid to the point where it's like, okay, now you can't get any trade value when you go to move him this offseason because you've got the number one overall pick. I mean, you're not going to make the decision to trade him before the draft, but when you actually turn in the card and you draft Trevor Lawrence, you are going to move on from Sam Darnold. You'd like to be able to get as high a draft pick in return as possible. And I don't know, putting him out there with his shoulder already being compromised. I mean, it was like that since the Thursday night game against the Denver Broncos. Like, I just I don't know, man. I just feel like it's a situation where it might be in the team's best interest if you don't play him, if he's not 100% healthy.
I agree with you, but I think that Adam Gase intends to play him when he's healthy.
But it shouldn't just be an Adam Gase decision. I guess that's a part of my point, too. Like, this is an organizational decision. There's nothing that Adam Gase can do to save his job. Like, we're not falling for what he did in the second half of last year. That's not going to happen again this year. And even if it does, I think everybody still recognizes that he's not a good head coach. Like, when it comes to winning games when they actually could matter, Adam Gase is not good. So if there's nothing that he can do to save his job, I mean, what's the rush in throwing Sam Darnold out there?
Well, I don't think it's a rush. I think Sam has not stayed healthy. The last thing for him, for me personally, for Sam and his career moving forward, I would advise, if his shoulder is, 75%, if it's not as close to 100% as possible, I would say don't play.
Yep.
But it's probably, as far as trade value is concerned, with Perriman, Crowder, and Mims healthy, I think if he does play, I think that can only bring more value as opposed to him just sitting out the rest of the season. Because that brings in a question, this kid can't stay healthy. Like, that's a problem, too, is he can't stay healthy.
Well, yeah, that is a problem, and I don't want to do anything to exacerbate that issue by having another injury down the stretch. And I just feel like even if he didn't play, based on what we've heard from Dan Graziano and other NFL reporters and experts and analysts, like, Sam Darnold would probably fetch you the same kind of draft pick that Josh Rosen got the Arizona Cardinals. Mid to late second round pick. I don't know. If he's not 100% healthy right now, what's the rush in putting him out here? Now, if he is healthy, like I said, there's enough of the season left where it's like, okay, you can justify playing the kid. But, if this thing lags on another couple of weeks, I just felt like it's a legitimate conversation for the organization to have. Sam's not a part. It doesn't feel like Sam's going to be a part of your future.
No, he's definitely not.
So I guess my whole thing is like, why compromise his health and the return that he could potentially bring back when you do move him?
Yeah, I think that only if he's healthy enough to play. And again, mm-hmm. I think part of what you're saying is because you just don't trust the Jets.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. I just don't trust Adam Gase. I don't trust what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball. I just don't trust that aspect of this team.
Which is fair. But I think if he is healthy enough to play, and we're not concerned that he's going to re-injure the shoulder to the point where he needs surgery or anything else, I think with all three wide receivers being healthy, maybe a light switch has gone on in Chris Herndon's head, maybe, who knows, that I think he can only increase his trade value if he plays the rest of the season.
Okay.
Well, at least that's the hope.
If but you have a healthy offensive line and these three guys at receiver, and Sam comes back and he's close to healthy, you'd hope that he plays well.
I feel like if Sam Darnold is healthy going into the offseason, there are going to be a lot of teams that are interested in trading for him. The only thing that could upset that is him not being healthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I do think, you have no leverage in this situation if you're the Jets. Because every team in the NFL knows exactly what you're doing with the first overall pick.
Correct. Unless there's two teams that want him.
Yeah, and who knows? There should be multiple teams that want him.
Right. So if you have multiple teams, then in theory, you do have some leverage.
Yeah, but the more people you hear from, every single person to a man always says it's lack of talent around him and they don't think Adam Gase is a good head coach.
Correct.
So you're probably going to go off how you felt about Sam Darnold when he was drafted. Because you feel like you can be the guy that unlocks all that talent.
Yes, you can fix him.
Yeah. Look at Carr in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
How good he looks.
Oh, yeah.
Terrific. That was some game last night.
That's a real football team, too, by the way. Real team.
Yeah, they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. They'll be a tough out.
And they're afraid of nobody.
No, they gave Kansas City all they could handle last
night. Yep.
Because I thought Kansas City
I would love to see a trilogy in that series this year. I would love to see a third game in the postseason. I would love to see it.
I don't want to see it in the first round of the playoffs, though. Well, right now, like the way it lines up.
I'm going to be honest, Rick. I don't care. I just want to see it.
That could be your 2-7
whenever it happens.
Game.
I just want to see it.
That could be your 2-7.
That was a good game last night.
That was.
It was a great game last night.
And the Raiders didn't have everybody on defense because of the COVID thing.
Yep.
Clelin Ferrell didn't even play. So I would love to see what that game would look, a third game would look like. Because it feels like it feels like Marinelli has the formula on how to slow down that Chiefs offense, or at least frustrate them and make them drive the length of the field and be patient.
How good is Pat Mahomes, though? Seriously.
That two-minute drill at the end was ridiculous.
But you know what the thing is? You knew they were going to score. You knew it.
Well, that's what happens, though. I mean, with how good he is, he can make any throw, which opens the playbook for anything Andy Reid wants to dial up. And, I mean, with some of the play calling, I mean, you got to give Andy Reid credit, too, and Bieniemy credit. You got guys running wide open all over
wide
the place.
Wide open. Well, he's looking off the safeties. I mean, the whole thing. From Mahomes to the receivers to the coaching staff, it is the perfect semblance of
he's the best, and there's not. I don't even think there's anyone close.
Mahomes.
I think it's Mahomes.
Yeah, there's nobody close.
There's no one.
You're right. There's nobody close.
And how old is he? 26?
Mahomes?
Yeah.
Let me pull it up.
I mean, he's got.
He's a baby.
Years.
25, Dave.
25 years old.
Yeah.
To look like that?
To be that combined. He
just turned 25 in September.
Oh. They got Mike Remmers at right tackle.
Yeah, but watch him at certain points during the game where most people, like if name your favorite team, if your quarterback is backpedaling and throwing the ball across the way, you're like, no, that's a terrible throw. Mahomes does it.
You never feel like that with him.
No, never. Like any arm angle. On the run, across his, but it doesn't matter. Speaking of which, that Herbert throw yesterday, that touchdown to Keenan Allen.
Yeah, we threw behind him.
Oh, there's nothing that Lamar Jackson could do on that. Nothing. I don't even blame Lamar Jackson.
And, of course, we got the State Farm Chris Paul Lamar Jackson. We don't got the real one.
Yeah. That's on the defensive line, though. They can't let Justin Herbert get out of their pocket and have that much
time.
He's
going to be good.
Yeah, he's going to be real good.
He's going to be special.
That's going to be a highly coveted job, Dave. If they move on from Anthony Lynn, yeah, that's going to be one of the best jobs available.
Because that team is, I mean, they should be 7-3 this year. That team is ready. You could argue they're ready to win now. I don't mean the whole thing, but I mean
playoff caliber. I don't know if that's an argument, Dave. They're a top five offense, and their defense is ranked 11th.
And they're 3-7.
And you'll get Derwin James back. Yep. Bosa's been hurt. I mean, let's face it, though. I mean, too, some of the play calling last night, too, where they just decided three straight plays, they throw the ball. Instead of running it, I don't know how much longer Anthony Lynn's going to be around. That feels like they could be making a change.
Yeah.
I mean, they should be better than this.
Yeah, but I mean, could you, like Chris just said, I mean, if all of a sudden they decide to move on from Anthony Lynn, that might be the most attractive job in the NFL.
I think it would be.
Yeah.
Because you have the quarterback that you love.
Yeah, and then at that point, you probably say the Jets have the third most attractive job if they land a number one pick. Because I would rank the Chargers' job as more attractive and the Texans' job as more attractive.
Deshaun Watson, by the way.
Stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're Devin McCourty, how do you explain that in the meeting room today?
You got run over by a quarterback
at the goal line.
you talked to the video guy and you somehow managed to get that and burn that tape. I don't know where the tape went, Coach. We're missing
never to be
plays.
Seen from again. There's some unbelievable quarterback play. But that AFC West, guys, oof. That's going to be a division for a long time.
Yeah, the AFC West is a good division. Denver still needs a quarterback, though. I don't know what Miami was doing yesterday.
Yeah, I don't trust Drew Lock. I don't trust Drew Lock. He's real skittish, man.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
But Denver's got a good defense, right, though. Denver's defense isn't bad.
Yeah, no, it's good. And they have some weapons. Yeah. They have a couple good running backs. They have a couple good receivers.
Yeah, but Denver had been Denver had been garbage, and Lock was a turnover machine. And for some reason yesterday, Tua was bad.
They
bench him. It started off so well, too. I was like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Yeah, but Devontae Dolphins had won five straight, though, Rico, and they were going a mile high. So, like, just they were due for one of those games. You know what I mean?
Maybe they're due for another one this coming Sunday.
See, now you're just being a bad guy.
The Michael Kay Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today, guys, 3 o'clock. The Kay Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little bit more enjoyable. Today the guys are giving away an all-star cookout combo from Kansas City Steak, including fillets, ribeye, strip steaks, lobster tails, and more. Well, that's nice. What do they have on tap the rest of the week, you ask? Yeah, fresh cash in your pocket. It's the 2020 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and, of course, 98.7 ESPN. Now, R.J. Bell, success this week. He took the Jets plus 9.5, and he was right on with that one. Rick, you went 1-2, so thankfully you took the Thursday night game for your victory. I started out well yesterday. Hit New Orleans. They look good. Beat up on Atlanta. Their defense looked excellent.
Matt Ryan is terrible.
What happened?
Matt Ryan is terrible.
He was not good. Yeah. You're angry at him, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, I am. And then somehow Green Bay lost.
How about Taysom Hill throwing the deep ball, too?
That might have been the worst pass I've ever seen thrown.
Wait for it. It's coming.
It was a fair catch.
It was like a punt.
The defensive back was in the end zone.
Can we all admit that the Saints don't have the quarterback of the future on their roster right now? Okay.
Yes. All right. Yes.
Cool.
But they're still a team that can tread water, I think, till Drew Brees gets back.
When is Drew Brees going to get back? 11 cracked ribs?
You see, he was out working out before the game yesterday.
I don't care how much working out he's doing. He's got 11 cracked ribs. That ain't going to heal overnight.
No. They said he'll miss three to – they expect him back hopefully week 15 is what I was reading.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Hopefully for him. And then
which
tonight –
could be to their benefit too. If they keep winning, it could be to their benefit. Give him a little break before the stretch run.
Yeah.
So the same thing that he had last year? A little five-week break?
Yeah, a little siesta.
This is it.
Although it didn't work out for them last year in the postseason.
No, it didn't.
They were so bad they lost to Kirk Cousins in the postseason last year. Monday Night Football preview, and this is a big one for you, Chris. Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Quickly, let's look at this game and then get back to the callers. Tampa giving 4, and one of the big things about this one is you're concerned with the left tackle spot of the Rams, right?
Yes. Andrew Whitworth?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big one, man. I mean, it's a different offense when Whitworth is on the field versus when he's not. So, I mean, this is a big game for both of those teams. Huge game.
By the way, I mean, you mentioned Green Bay too, Dave. That was a huge game for Green Bay, by the way.
What a terrible loss.
Awful loss. Disgusting.
Just a disgusting loss.
It's a joke, really. I mean, they look great in the first half. You come out, you only score 3 points in the second half. I mean, the clock management down the stretch. Now, listen, they got down the field, they kicked the field goal. But for some reason, I just expected them to score a touchdown there.
Yep.
Why on first down is he spiking the football?
I have no idea.
Why not take a shot?
No idea.
You wasted a down.
And you had plenty of time.
Plenty of time. And then you finally get 4 turnovers in the game.
That was awful.
Awful.
Terrible. The Monday Night Football preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. 800-919-3776. Alan and Harrison is next up. Alan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, hi, Alan.
Hey, I called like 2 weeks ago because Kenny said that Anthony Lynn was a good coach. And after watching yesterday's game, I still stand by saying that he needs to be fired. Like, the Chargers didn't come out in the second half because they never do. Like, they are always losing the second half. They were up against the Chiefs 17-6, and they lost. They were up against the Saints 20-3, and they lost. They were up 24-7, 24-3. They always lose. They lose in the second half every game.
Well, they didn't lose yesterday. They won. Now, in terms of game management, Anthony Lynn is not the best, but you don't have a top-5 offense and basically a top-10 defense without having a good coach. Like, he's a good football coach. He was on the staff when I played in Dallas. He's been around the league, and everybody respects him. So, I mean, maybe he's not a head coach, or with this situation with the Chargers, for whatever reason, is not working out. The Chargers are probably going to move on from Anthony Lynn. That doesn't change my opinion on whether or not I think he's a good coach. I think Todd Bowles is a good coach. That didn't keep the Jets from moving on from Todd Bowles. So, I mean, I just, you know, for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out. But based on what we've seen from Justin Herbert, the organization is going in the right direction. I don't know what else you want me to say. Feel like that was a call to just hang on the rim about Anthony Lynn potentially losing his job. I don't know what the point of that is.
No, I think that there are. I mean, that's a team that should be better than their 3-7 record, though. I think is the point, right?
Yeah, it feels like it. I mean, it feels like they've had opportunities to win, and they found creative ways to lose.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would use Kansas City as one of those. I wouldn't necessarily point to the Chiefs as one of those that you're like.
Losing in overtime to the Saints. I mean, listen, we got to remember this, too. You're talking about a rookie quarterback who's made some mistakes. I mean, as great as the kid looks, it's not like he doesn't have some bonehead plays or some bonehead moments. Now, you didn't see any yesterday just because the Jets secondary is so bad. I mean, everybody wants to pile on Anthony Lynn. All right, I get it. Then you are what your record says you are. But I'm just saying, listen, the Chargers are a team, an organization that's moving in the right direction. There are a lot of positives there. And Anthony Lynn is a part of that. So, say whatever you want about him as a head coach.
You think he's back next year?
No, I don't think he's back next year, Dave. I don't think he's back. I think Anthony Lynn, in terms of game management, has to be better. But he's not going to have another chance to be back. I don't think he's back.
Yeah, but he's. I mean, listen, Anthony Lynn is he's fine. I mean, he's a good head coach. But you may have. I mean, there may be the opportunity to find somebody better. There may be someone you like better now. And the right. fact that your job. I mean, you have a very attractive job right now.
Very attractive. And like Chris said minutes ago, this. I mean, you could argue this is the most attractive job that'll be available in all football.
Yeah, I think it would, because you're talking about having a franchise quarterback and probably having a top. What, top five, top seven pick?
Yeah.
Chargers currently have the sixth overall pick.
Yeah. So, there you go.
It's amazing. Jets all these teams in the NFC East, they're all like five, six, seven, and they're right there to win the division. So, you're either going to pick sixth or you're going to win the division.
Well, right now, Dallas has the fourth pick, Washington has the fifth pick, and the Giants have the seventh pick.
And they're all half a game out of the division.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that the Giants could play for the division in Week 17, and if they win it, win the division, and if they lose it, pick sixth.
I don't know about – I mean, now you're talking five or six wins. Nah, I don't know about
top, that. Top eight.
Top ten. Yeah, top ten pick.
Top ten.
Just say
absolutely.
Top ten pick.
Top ten pick.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
That division is going to come down to Week 17.
It's amazing to me that the Eagles right now – with all the injuries to quarterbacks in this division, the Eagles still have the worst quarterback in the division in Carson Wentz.
I mean, Chris, he's bad.
He's bad.
He's a bad quarterback.
I mean, who do you want playing quarterback for you now? You want Wentz or you want Alex Smith?
Well, Alex Smith doesn't turn the football over.
Exactly. All right. Do you want Daniel Jones or you want Carson Wentz?
I want Daniel Jones.
All right. Do you want Andy Dalton or you want Carson Wentz? As bad as Andy Dalton is, I would prefer to have him over Carson Wentz
right now. And this is not a positive towards Jones or Dalton or Smith. It's more a negative towards Wentz. Yeah. Wentz, he's unplayable right now.
I can't explain the decision that he made to throw that pick six.
Oh.
Why would you make that decision?
Lofting the ball up there?
I don't understand it. Like, you should know better by now. This is his fifth season. He should know better than to make that play right there. I can't make heads or tails of it, Dave. I don't know where the Carson Wentz that we saw in 2017 went.
It's amazing. And do I really still have to hear people? Because you hear it all the time. Well, now they're getting healthy. And at some point,
doesn't matter
surprise.
How healthy they are right. if the quarterback is making those types of decisions.
But,
it doesn't matter.
Alshon Jeffrey's back. And it doesn't make a difference. And you know, Fulgham is a good player. And Ertz is on the way back. And Goddard is back.
It's amazing to me, Dave. It's amazing because Baker Mayfield did not play well at all. Uh-huh. I mean, he was missing wide open throws. And the only reason that people aren't talking about it today is because Carson Wentz was that much worse.
And he was that much worse.
Well, Philly's defense was good, too. I mean, for the most part, I mean, they were good against the run.
Oh, yeah, they were good.
Which what Cleveland does. I mean, that's what they want to do the most. But, I mean, listen, he's right now the reason why they're losing football games with his decision-making. Just awful decisions. Awful decisions. And by the way, if I was a quarterback and the Washington football team was on my schedule playing in Washington, I would probably find a way to come down sick. No interest playing on that field right now. I almost threw up. That Joe Burrow injury, I almost puked.
Oh yeah, you knew it as soon as it happened to Rico. Yep. Like the whole pile just folded on his left leg, and I was just like, ugh.
It looked like a rubber leg. I almost vomited.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't show it on the telecast, and then you see him getting carted off.
Good for them.
You know what one positive might be out of that situation, Rico, is that it was so violent so fast that it might just be a clean tear. Like where he doesn't tear any cartilage, any meniscus, anything like that. It's just ACL.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how his leg didn't snap in half.
It was bad. It was bad. Oh. That was as bad as we've seen this year.
Update from the Eagles, Canty, for you. What do you think they're doing at quarterback moving forward? Making the change or staying with Wentz?
Carson Wentz.
I think the contract, they have no choice but to stay with Wentz.
You would be correct. Carson Wentz will start Monday night on ESPN against the Seattle Seahawks, and the Dolphins have made a decision as well.
Tua.
Tua will be starting against your New York Jets.
He was not good.
He was terrible.
Their offensive line was bad, too.
He was terrible.
Respect to Brian Flores for pulling to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's get you out of the game. Let's put Ryan Fitzpatrick in. Well, give us a chance.
They almost tied the game up.
Yeah, give us a chance. Ryan Fitzpatrick was better than Tua yesterday.
He sure was.
I will say this about Tua, though. He's got an awfully quick release. I mean, that ball gets out of his hand in a hurry, Dave. I mean, in terms
of... he looks like he's going to be good. But he looks like a normal rookie. Like, what I've seen from Herbert, for the most part, is abnormal. Like, where he's just, he looks that good, that awesome.
What you've seen from Burrow, too, though. Like, quarterbacks don't come into the league and do that.
The norm is Tua, where it's like, there's moments he looks good, moments he looks bad, and it takes time, and there's a normal progression.
But it speaks to something that you and Rick talk about all the time with roster construction and making sure that your franchise is in the right place when you draft that quarterback. Because you have to have a defense and a special teams that's strong enough to support a young quarterback. Because young quarterbacks, when they make the jump to the NFL, are going to struggle.
Yeah.
Like you see, Miami has a really strong defense. Miami has really good special teams. Like, they are going to keep you in games. And you're just asking that your young quarterback not lose the game and get the ball to the playmakers and let them do the heavy lifting on offense.
Yeah, and for the most part, Miami has been pretty much able to do that. And they'll try to get back on track Sunday against the Jets at MetLife Stadium. Let's bring him in, everyone's favorite trivia question man. That is Andy in Merrick.
Good morning, DCR. What a great Monday. How are you, fellas?
We're terrific. Giants didn't lose again, Andy.
That's very true. Well, today's Monday, so Dave, you know what that means.
It means baseball, but I'd like to complain about this. There's no reason that on a Monday after a full football weekend, we shouldn't be getting football questions.
There's no reason I should be living in your basement yet. I'm still there.
Yeah, it's a valid point.
Today is all about the youth and early achievers. Question one, the youngest player to reach 300 home runs did it in his age 27 season.
Ooh, youngest player to reach 300 home runs.
Was it A-Rod?
Is that A-Rod?
A-Rod, good job, boys. Question number two, the youngest man to reach the 3,000 hit mark, one of the all-time great hitters.
Ooh. How old? Old school? How old?
Real old school.
Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb, the Georgia Peach, is correct.
All right.
Question number three. He's the only pitcher to have reached the 3,000 strikeout mark prior to the age of 35. Name him.
Ooh. Boy, I don't know.
Maybe some New York flavor?
Is it Seaver?
New York flavor.
No.
How old is this?
In your lifetime, Rico.
In your lifetime.
In my lifetime. New York flavor. Youngest of 3,000.
Randy Johnson?
No, he's a tough Texan.
Tough Texan. Nolan Ryan? No.
The Ryan? Express, yes.
All right.
He did it in his age 33 season. Woo! And finally, can you tell me the youngest player to don a Mets uniform?
Well, that's a good question.
Youngest player to play for the Mets.
Is it Ed Cranepool?
Ed Cranepool!
Yes, it was Don LaGreca.
There you go.
Birthday shout out. 80-year-old Louis Tiant, happy birthday. Fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, boys.
Terrific.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.